Hi, everybody. I'm Matt Katz, in for Melissa Harris-Perry. And one way or another, this takeaway is going to end.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. Remember, all I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
And so began the blockbuster known as The Matrix back in 1999. I cannot believe this film was made more than 20 years ago. Today marks the theatrical debut of the fourth installment in the Matrix franchise, The Matrix Resurrections.
The only thing that matters to you is still here. I know it's why you're still fighting and why you will never give up.
You don't know me.
No?
That's just a little taste of what audiences can expect in the new film, which is getting mixed reviews. Yet the movie still has the potential to be a blockbuster and groundbreaking at the same time, as it's directed by Lana Wachowski, making this perhaps the biggest blockbuster film ever helmed by a trans person. For more on the new film and the Matrix series, I spoke with Emily Vanderwerf, critic at large for Vox. I asked her, how did the original film become a lasting cultural phenomenon?
Every so often, there's a movie that sort of comes along and changes everything. And The Matrix is probably the most influential movie since Star Wars.
Wow.
There's a number of reasons for this, but I think the primary one is that it just looks cool. Like, I don't know how to quantify that, but like, if you watch this movie, even today in 2021, 22 years after it was released, you're like, yeah, that looks really cool. I do think that one of the big reasons that it has managed to have that lasting impact, however, even though literally every movie in Hollywood has borrowed some element of this movie's style, I think that impact comes from the fact that its underlying story is sort of about how what we think of as reality is not real, and what we think of as our mission in life is maybe misguided. And it is this all-purpose metaphor that can speak to a number of things in life that has gained resonance as we've gotten further into the 21st century. And people have sort of said, wait a second, a lot of these goals and things that I was taught to wish for as a child are maybe not panning out in the way I thought. Let's see if there are other things I could be looking for. The Matrix is about that. And it kind of got ahead of the curve in that regard. And I think that's really amazing.
Yeah. Is it like more relevant now to a viewer? I mean, in watching it now, does it almost make more sense than it did in 1999?
In some ways, yes. But I do think one of the things that's fascinating about this movie, and I wrote about this for Vox, there are sort of five eras that overlap roughly, but we keep reinterpreting The Matrix and it keeps standing up to that reinterpretation. Like, I end the piece with a joke about how 30 years from now, maybe our robot oppressors will view this movie through a new light. And I really think it's true that this movie does have this element to it that makes it capable of being reinterpreted multiple ways. And I think that will just keep going.
Okay, so we're now at the fourth film.
Yes.
Have you seen it? What can we expect? No spoilers, or maybe not too many spoilers.
I love the fourth movie. It has proved hugely divisive, which of course all of the Matrix sequels have proved hugely divisive. Just to run down my love, I love movie two. I think movie three is comparatively weak. I think movie four is great. It's hard to talk about this movie without spoilers because, like, literally the premise of the movie is kind of a spoiler. Huh. But I will say that it is very much engaged in a conversation with the idea of franchise filmmaking, with the idea that everything now has to be part of a franchise and that our beloved characters can never be let to rest. And I have a piece on this coming up at Vox, but I think there are a number of movies that have sort of tried to engage with this idea, but nobody has gone all in the way that Lana Wachowski and her team have on this movie. And also, without spoiling, it's a big old love story. It is a Titanic style love story. And I am overwhelmed by that. Like, there was a moment in this movie that made me cry. I don't know if you'd expect that from a Matrix movie.
Wow. But there are detractors, I guess, online. Some people are not feeling this. Is there a particular reason?
Yeah, I mean, like all Wachowski movies, there is a lot of big-hearted sincerity in this, and that is not for everyone. But I also think there is kind of a reaction to the fact that this movie is saying franchise filmmaking, which is the core of the industry right now, is maybe kind of creatively bankrupt. And if you want to do a movie like that, you should figure out a new thing to do with these characters. You know, I don't think that's going to work for everybody. It really worked for me as a big Matrix fan. It's really worked for a bunch of other Matrix fans I know. But I do understand why it wouldn't work for some people. The Wachowskis are just really divisive filmmakers. I love them, but not everybody does.
So they were actually supposed to be done with the Matrix.
Yes.
What happened? How did this latest installment come about?
I just want to clarify really quickly, because I keep using Wachowskis and Wachowski interchangeably. Lily Wachowski was involved in the first three Matrix movies. She still has a credit for having created the characters on this movie. She is not involved in movie four. She's off making the wonderful Showtime series Work in Progress, which I highly recommend to everybody.
Okay.
Lana Wachowski made this movie as a solo director. It is her first solo director credited film. It is this situation where if you read interviews with the various people who are involved in the movie, it sounds like Warner Brothers came to the Wachowskis a lot of times between the release of movie three in 2003 and right now and said, hey, can you make us a fourth movie? And they would say, no, no, no. And Lana Wachowski said in a speech at the Berlin Film Festival that she was dealing with the death of both of her parents and the death of a very dear friend that happened really closely to each other in 2019. And she suddenly woke up and was like, had this notion for a new story about Neo and Trinity. And she said she found that very comforting to have these old friends, these old fictional friends come back to sort of have a new adventure at a time when she couldn't have that with these people that she really loved. And I find that very touching, and it really does reflect throughout the film. But you know, in terms of Warner Brothers, they've just always wanted a Matrix movie.
Of course.
So yeah.
Well, I'm glad they found a reason to make this out of love and beauty as opposed to just, you know, cash.
Yeah.
You've written about the Matrix as a trans allegory for the experiences, yes, of Lily and Lana Wachowski. Can you explain that a little bit?
So I think one of the things that is notable about that first film, as mentioned earlier, is it really is interested in exploring the idea that reality is an illusion, that we live in sort of a simulation. And that is a metaphor that works for a lot of people on a lot of different levels. And I think that one level it really works on is as an exploration of gender. There is this element of the film that replicates the experience of being what we in the trans community sometimes call an egg, which is a pre-transition trans person who has yet to come out to themselves and is sort of safely cocooned in an area where they're not really like experiencing the world as strongly as they could be, because gender dysphoria kind of dissociates your brain just a little bit. Not so much that you can't deal with the world, but enough that you are very disconnected and detached from the world. And then you take a pill and suddenly your brain starts to come back online. And in the 90s, estrogen pills were red, and like the red pill could be a reference to estrogen. I think this is a stretch. Both of the Wachowskis were not out in 1999. So far as we know, they were not out to themselves, but it is kind of a cool coincidence. And if you look at the movie through that lens, you know, there's a bunch of scenes of, for instance, the climax of the movie involves Agent Smith essentially dead naming Neo. There are things about a characters, you know, having sort of different cooler appearances in the Matrix versus in reality. There's a scene where Neo finds Trinity and says he thought she was a guy, and she said most guys do. Like, there's just all kinds of elements that add up to that. I always stop at calling it an allegory because I think there are so many different ways to read this movie. And I don't want to take away from someone who reads this as, for instance, a leftist film, because I think it is that. But I do think there are a lot of trans themes in this movie, whether the Wachowskis intended them or not. And I think that's why it speaks so much to trans people.
And the Wachowski sisters came out as trans women in more recent years after
Yes. In the 2010s, though, from what we know, Lana Wachowski seems like she was out to friends and family somewhere in the 2000s. There were rumors about her in around the release of The Matrix Reloaded in 2003, which is the second film. And if you go back and look at those rumors, you see why she doesn't really like talking to press now. They're really nasty. And it's a reminder of how transphobic even fairly mainstream media outlets could be in 2003.
You referenced The Matrix as an allegory for the left and as a leftist set of films. Yeah. Can you expand on that a little bit? Because like red pilling was adopted by the alt-right, of course. But
Yes. And I think, again, one of the strengths of this is that you can interpret this movie in a whole bunch of different ways. And I'm sure we'll talk about red pilling in a second. But I do think that the core of these movies is kind of about a whole bunch of people of various races, of various genders, of various like political ideals coming together to build a better world. And ultimately, The Matrix is kind of a metaphor for capitalism. It's about the idea that you are being placated by this notion of if you have enough stuff, if you have a good enough job, if you have enough money, you are going to be secure. And that sort of marriage of capitalism and commercialism that drives so much of our thinking in modern life, even without us, you know, really considering it, is at the core of what The Matrix is. And it's how the systems of oppression literally keep you placated and in a slumber and hallucinating a reality that's better than it actually is. And I do think that that critique was taken in a different way in 1999 when the US economy was pretty good for many people. And now in an era of income inequality, I think it's easier to read that into the film. Again, this gets interpreted and reinterpreted. Sure. But the Wachowskis themselves are pretty old school leftists. If you go and look around the time that Trump was first in office, you can find quotes from Lana Wachowski, who was at various protests and sort of gave very leftist answers to the questions that she was asked. And there is this element of, you know, if you look at these movies, you can see them almost as a sci-fi adaptation of Noam Chomsky's Manufacturing Consent. Like you have to take a couple leaps, but you can get there. So I think reading these movies as leftist films is really a rich reading of them. I think it isn't closer to whatever the Wachowskis' intent was. And I think authorial intent ultimately doesn't matter in our reading of a film. But I think it's an interesting way to read them. And I think it kind of cuts against, again, the red pill reading.
Right, right. And do you want to explain a little bit about that, the red pill reading by the alt-right?
Yeah. So there's this thing called the Manosphere online, which is a number of disgruntled men who, in essence, have deeply misogynist ideas about what women's place in society and in relation to them should be. And there are a whole bunch of different things that sort of lump into the Manosphere and various Venn diagram intersections. For instance, you might have heard about incels, and there's a heavy Venn diagram intersection there. But the red pill is one of the core metaphors of the Manosphere. And the idea behind the red pill is that if you, again, take the red pill, your eyes will be open to what reality is. And in this case, it's in essence kind of what now we might call anti-woke settlement. It is very much the idea that, like, if you take the red pill, you'll see the way that society is being biased against men or against white men. And you can drill down as specifically as you want to get in terms of like who various people in this group are against. But it is, again, this all such a strong all-purpose metaphor for having your eyes open to reality. And like, I don't agree with that reading of the film. I don't think it's an intended reading of the film. I think it's a reading of the film that has done active harm in the world. Mm-hmm. But I also don't think it's an invalid reading of the film. I think you can watch this movie and find that in there. And like, yeah, it's you know, I don't think it jibes with a movie that is about a multiracial coalition of people teaming together to bring down capitalism, but it's not there. And I think that that's fascinating.
I think it's fascinating as well. How important is it, do you think, for the trans community that this new film has the potential to be a blockbuster directed by the first openly trans filmmaker?
You know, I think that the fact that the Wachowskis keep making huge movies and keep having, in a way, a blank check for what they want to do, and that's gotten less true over the years as more of their movies have bombed, it is an important thing to the trans community, to trans people in general, to me specifically. Like, it is wonderful that the most influential movie since Star Wars was directed by two trans women. There is just this element of, oh, you might not understand trans identities, but you probably understand the Matrix. And if you can understand the Matrix as a metaphor for what trans people go through, for what trans people have to deal with, then that's maybe a way to start having conversations with your trans friends. But also, like, it's just kind of cool that in an industry that is still heavily dominated by straight cis white men, there are these two trans women who made a huge hit in 1999 and now continue to get chances to make movies. And The Matrix Resurrections, whatever you want to say about it after seeing it, it is not a dull retread of their work. It is very much Lana Wachowski saying, I want to do new things with these characters and you can join me or not. And it is, again, you know, there's a lot of elements in it that I think trans people will find very interesting and thoughtful, especially in terms of the movie is thematically about all of the ways in which binaries that we are set up with, you know, good and evil as in the obvious one, but so is male and female, are, you know, ultimately more like spectrums. And yeah, if you're able to free yourself from that binary thinking, there's a much bigger and more exciting world out there for you. And to say more about that theme would be to spoil some pretty big things in the movie. Right. But yeah,
we'll leave it there. I cannot wait to see this film. It was so fascinating to chat with you. Emily Vanderwerf, critic at large for Vox. Thanks so much for coming on The Takeaway.
Thank you so much.
NYC Now delivers the most up-to-date local news from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. With 3 updates a day, listeners get breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from across New York City. By sponsoring programming like NYC Now, you'll reach our community of dedicated listeners with premium messaging in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to get in touch and find out more.